Blog Talk Radio.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Andrew Shatkin Show, the show where you get honest discernment, intellectual honesty, no media hype, no media lies, no political rhetoric, nothing like that. You'll get the facts and the truth and nothing but the truth in this show. And tonight I'm going to talk about something. First of all, in this show we often are literary in our emphasis, since I love great books, such as Milton's Paradise Lost and Bunyan's Pilgrim Progress and things like that, and Passage to India by E.M. Forster and Shakespeare and Goethe and whoever you might imagine. These are the people that I love and admire as literary greats. I also am a Christian, and I have an M.Div. from Queen Princess Theological Seminary in Biblical and Classical Languages, Greek, Latin, and Hebrew, and I'm very much committed to Jesus and the Christian faith in every way. And the show has that emphasis, although I welcome all faiths and all beliefs and all ideas and all opinions. Third, I'm a political conservative, but I also I oppose abortion and gay marriage, but I have great love. And Jesus' love is very great for all people. It is said of him that he, in Timothy, that he wills that all men be saved. And for me, the love of Jesus covers all groups. He loves our gay brothers and sisters. He wants them to be with him in heaven, as is true of our Hindu friends and our Muslim friends, etc. All groups, all peoples, all races, all nations are welcome in the Christian view of things. His love is all-encompassing, and he died on the cross for all men and all women of all generations from beginning to end. Next, I have to tell you that I'm going to tell you a little bit about myself and how this show is structured, and then I'm going to go into this discussion of feelings. First of all, this is a politically incorrect show. We don't believe in political correctness. We don't believe in media hype, media falsehoods, anything like that. We don't believe in propaganda. We don't believe in anything resembling that. We don't believe in political rhetoric. We don't believe in media hype, media falsehoods. We believe in getting at the truth and getting at the facts. That's how this show works. Second thing is, it's a Christian show, and I myself adhere to Holy Scripture from Genesis to Revelation. And I adhere to the creeds of the church, Athanasian, Apostles, and Nicene Creed. And if I'm going to read a book, I read the great Christian books of the past, such as Milton's Paradise Lost, John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress, Calvin, Luther, Bonhoeffer, St. Augustine's Confessions. These are the books I read. T.S. Eliot, The Idea of a Christian Society. These are the books I read. G.K. Chesterton, a Christian author, these are the books I read, these are the books I value, and I note that the great Christian writer of the epic poem Paradise Lost, John Milton, wrote that book while he was blind, totally blind and in darkness, as well as he wrote Paradise Regained and Samson Agonistes. Next, I have a political position of being conservative, and I certainly oppose abortion and gay marriage, but I have great love for my dear women friends who wish to have an abortion. I think Jesus loves them and values them and treasures them, and same is true of my gay friends. They are valued, and I want them to be with me in heaven. As it says in Timothy, God wills that all men be saved, and I know that my gay friends and colleagues, I know that Jesus loves them and treasures them and died for them, and that's the bottom line, in a sense. He welcomes all faiths, all nations, all persons, all ideas, all opinions. They're welcome in the Christian faith and in the church. So I welcome my gay friends. I welcome my Hindu friends. I welcome my Buddhist friends. I welcome my Islamic friends. Next, I'm running two radio shows, a Blog Talk Radio Show and a podcast radio show. I have many visitors of these shows from many countries, particularly from Muslim countries. I know that Saudi Arabia visits my Blog Talk Radio Show and Malaysia and Iran and Iraq. As well, I've had over 4,300 visitors from 80 countries to my podcast show. So I have to say that these shows are well visited by people all over the world. Despite their Christian orientation, they attract many, many types and all races and all faiths. I have to say that I have a very close philosophy student in Iran who has loved my Christian books. Next, I will tell you that I have run these radio shows, the Christian shows, but I welcome all faiths, all nations, all races, all ideas, all opinions. You know that Jesus died for all men and women, whatever their race, whatever their faith, whoever they are. His love is all-encompassing and massive, if you will. He thought of all mankind on the cross, and he died for all men on the cross. That is the bottom line. Whether Hindu, whether Muslims, whether whoever they are, Jesus loved and died for them. Next, I have to say that I'm a writer. I've written 10 books, Christian books and legal books. The legal books, Select Legal Topics, Volume 1 and 2. And also I've written Christian books, Essays in the Christian Worldview, Essays in Faith, Culture, Politics, and Philosophy. A book on the parables. I recommend reading the parables. There are 41 parables in the Gospels. They represent the thought and mind of Christ. They are invaluable in their thinking. I wrote this book on the parables, interpreting them, and I urge you to read the parables and perhaps, if you have time, read the book. I think the parables are fantastic thought mechanisms of God, advising us and telling us how to live, what we should do with our lives. I've also written a book on the Psalms, interpretation of all 150 Psalms. The Psalms are the great spiritual food of the church. John Donne said of the Psalms, the great Anglican poet, said that they were the manna of the church. They are. They're beautiful lyric poetry. They're Jewish lyric poetry, Hebrew lyric poetry, and they are spiritual food of a great character. The thinking in the Psalms is very great, and you cannot stop. Once you read the Psalms, you must read them again and again and again. And I've said in this show many times, I don't know which you'll tire of first. I know which I'll tire of first: a translation of War and Peace, or the Psalms in an English translation. You will not tire of the Psalms, but you may tire of other books in an English translation. The Psalms are very great literature. They're great lyric poetry. I read them in Hebrew in seminary, and I read them today in English. I memorized the 1st, 2nd, and 23rd Psalm when I was in Sunday school, and I've never regretted it. The Psalms are great, great spiritual treasures, and you must read them. I have your children read them and take them to read them. They are so great. Next, I would like to tell you that I've written other books. I'm presently writing a book on the miracles in the Bible. I've written one chapter. I'm writing a book on my four blogs. This is my blog book. I'm writing a book on four blogs, and those will be out soon. I'm also I've written a book on the New York Family Law and Practice, the chapter on paternity. I've written Race Gestae, a chapter in Bender's Consolidated Evidence. I've written a book in New York Jurisprudence, a legal encyclopedia on criminal law, demands and notices. And I've written a number of law review articles, including in the Syracuse Law Review and Criminal Procedure, bought by the United States Supreme Court and the State Department. And that book is sold through universities throughout the world. And I also have written a book on Academicus, an Albanian scientific journal. I've written articles on that particular journal. One is on sexual orientation discrimination, which I oppose, and the other is on the educational system in the United States, which I see as quite deficient and cheating our young people of the legacy of Western thought. Now I'm going to talk about today a little bit about feelings. Very tricky subject, feelings. Everybody's concerned about their own feelings. But I think it's sad to say we give little thought to other people and their feelings, and we rather are absolutely concerned with our own, typical of human self-involvement and egotism. This essay, this talk, will concern itself with analyzing feelings. As I say, we're mostly concerned with our own feelings and give little thought to other people and their feelings. And as I said, we are rather absolutely concerned with our own feelings, typical of human self-involvement and egotism. I'm going to talk about feelings and try to understand them in this talk. First thing that has to be said, they're very exact indicators of truth. Won't get much facts or truth out of feelings. Our feelings may be affected when someone chooses not to talk to us or declines or is indifferent to that issue. As I say, feelings are very inexact indicators of truth, and they really can fool us. Our feelings may be affected when someone chooses not to talk to us or declines or is indifferent. In reality, that person may be simply living their life without reference to us or our feelings at all. We interpret their indifference or lack of attention to us as a stab at our feelings. So feelings are very tricky. They're inexact indicators of truth, and they are very misinterpreted. One example is someone chooses not to talk to us or declines or is indifferent. We may hurt our feelings and not being paid attention to. In reality, that person may be simply living their life without reference to our feelings at all or to ourselves at all. We maybe interpret their lack of attention to us as an attack on our feelings. Another example of misinterpreting our feelings, and which is our inexact indicators, is when someone speaks to us in a way we perceive as harsh, cutting, and mean. That may be the way the person speaks to everyone. Particular behavior is really not directed to us or our feelings. Again, this is another example. One is a person not speaking to us at all. The other is a person speaking to us in a way we don't like. But the reality is that these are misinterpretations of us by our feelings. And our feelings are very inexact. So you can see by these examples that our feelings interpret things and twist them, misleading us, and so are not very exact indicators of truth. Second, that's part of the problem. Our feelings interpret things and twist and mislead us. And as I said, they're not very exact indicators of truth, and we can be misled by someone not talking to us or paying attention to us, or with someone who speaks to us in a harsh manner that we perceive. And in reality, that person may not be speaking about us at all, and they may be simply not paying attention to us because they're busy, or they may speak to us in a way that's harsh and cutting and mean, but then maybe the way they talk to everyone, or maybe talk to people at that particular point. And as I say, our feelings interpret things and twist them, are very inexact indicators of truth. Second, part of the problem with feelings is that in a present state of society, feelings do not occupy a very great role. They're not really featured too much these days, feelings. Example would be the ideal of romantic love, which governed Western culture for some 1900 years up to the present time, when lust has taken over, not love. So, as I say, feelings in our present society don't really feature a very leading role. And an example of feelings not really being important would be the ideal of romantic love, which governed Western culture for more than 1900 years up to the present time, when lust has taken over. And so, but feelings and romantic love were quite featured until recently. And if we look at the movies or listen to the Broadway shows of the 30s and 40s, we see romantic love featured. Men and women approach each other gingerly and barely touch. So you have to say that feelings and love in our present society is not really featured. And in fact, love was paramount in the past and not love, not lust. Love was paramount and governed our society. In the Broadway shows and movies of the 30s and 40s, we see romantic love featured. Men and women approach each other cautiously and barely touch. At that time, in our society, it was love that was paramount, not lust. The films of that era depicted men and women falling in love and getting married. The films of today portray them jumping into bed, such as the James Bond movies. The popular music of our day is crude and its lyrics offensive, featuring animal passion, as opposed to the love song of South Pacific, one of the great Broadway shows of the 40s, Some Enchanted Evening, or Younger Than Springtime. If we have not grown up from love, we have grown away from it, and so our feelings are not featured. The feelings connected with the romantic love and the love songs of the Broadway stage have been taken over by crude, loud, offensive lyrics. Feelings do not occupy a great role in our present society. They did in the past. An example would be the ideal of romantic love, which governed Western culture for 1900 years, when lust has taken over. If we chance to see the movies or listen to the Broadway shows of the 30s and 40s, we see romantic love featured and feelings featured. And that is not so today. Men and women in those movies approached each other cautiously, and love and feelings were paramount, not lust, which is the shift in a concern for feelings to a concern for other things. The films of that era depicted men and women as falling in love and getting married, and today they feature them as jumping into bed. The popular music of our day is crude and its lyrics offensive, as opposed to the great love songs of the South Pacific, Some Enchanted Evening and Younger Than Springtime. If we have not grown away from feelings and love, we have grown away from feelings and love, and feelings are hidden and not featured at all. And the delicacy of romantic love and the love songs on the Broadway stage have been overcome by crude, offensive lyrics. One may speculate that the reason for this is the decline in the Christian worldview, which encouraged and promoted love leading to marriage. And that worldview has slowly been eroded, eliminated in many instances. Possibly the reason for the decline of feelings and love, romantic love, is the decline of the Christian worldview, which encouraged and promoted love leading to marriage. I'd like to take a little root away from the discussion of feelings and note the feelings and emotions differ between child and adult. The child is concerned, if not obsessed, with his own feelings and being loved, or better put, being the recipient of love from his parents, teachers, and other adults that he may look up to. So a child's feelings is concerned with his own feelings, self-involved, and being loved, or better put, being the recipient of love from his parents, teachers, and other adults that he or she looks up to. Adult feelings are different from the self-centered feelings of the child. Compassion, kindness, and charity are adult emotions and feelings. Compassion, kindness, and charity are adult emotions and feelings. The child's feelings are with themselves, and with themselves and concern their own person. Only a mature adult can realize and express those feelings of compassion, kindness, and charity. These are adult feelings and emotions, as opposed to the feelings of the child, which is concerned with his own feelings and being loved, or being the recipient of love from his parents, teachers, and other adults he looks up to. Adult feelings are different. They involve compassion, kindness, and charity. These are adult emotions and feelings, and they concern themselves not with the feelings of the child and the self, but with their humanity and charity and love. So what are we going to say about feelings these days? They seem to be on the way out. What with cell phones, emails, computers, DVDs and television and movies, feelings and relationships are distant and removed, and so love is distant and removed. What with cell phones, emails, computers, DVDs and television and movies, feelings and relationships are distant and removed, and so love is distant and removed. There is another reason why feelings are on the decline in our society. We are more and more separated by technology and electronics from the opportunity to form giving, compassionate, humane relationships. So this is what we have to say about feelings in the end. What with cell phones, emails, computers, iPods, DVDs, and television and movies, feelings and relationships are distant and removed and not featured. And so love and romantic love and feelings is distant and removed. This is another reason why feelings are on the decline in our present society. We are more and more separated by technology and electronics, and the opportunity to form compassionate, humane relationships is becoming more and more difficult. One may hope that feelings and relationships will make a comeback from the forces of darkness that seem to assault us men and women. A world without feelings is a gray, boring world, unforgiving, without growth and without love. One may hope there will be a return to the romantic ideal of love, which is the only way to true growth. One would hope that what with cell phones, emails, computers, iPods, DVDs, and television and movies, feelings and relationships are distant and removed. And so love is distant and removed. This is another reason why feelings are on the decline in our present society. We are more and more separated by technology and electronics. One might hope that feelings and love and relationships will make a comeback from the forces of darkness that assault us men and women. A world without feelings is a great boring world, unforgiving and without growth. That's as much as I have to say about feelings tonight, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you love this little talk and my observation about why our society lacks feeling and we don't feature feelings, why we don't, in some sense, don't even feature love. It's a fact, and it's a sad fact, and I think it's a reality that we all have to deal with, and one would hope that the world will make a return to the world of South Pacific some enchanted evening, younger than springtime. Return to love, not lust, and a return to feelings, not the gray, boring world of electronics and technology. Technology lacks feelings, and feelings are ultimately only expressed in words and songs. I hope you've enjoyed this talk tonight, and I hope you've benefited from it.